Today is the 18th of February, 2019. Oh, here it is. The 13th of Adar Aleph, Tafshin Ayin Tes. And we are up to Mussar Day of Perek Yitzchas of Parshas Korach, the last Perek in Korach. Looking around at the various drush svarim that I have on my shelf, there isn't much that is said, although I think there is some significant material certainly to be found, and we'll try to bring up as much of it as we can. So the first issue that we made mention of this when we went through it the first time, and it was a little disappointing that we couldn't really discover more, and that is, over the course, what is the Perek Yitzchas about? So after the fall of Korach, so there is then a description or a prescription for how to avoid this again. So the end of Perek Yitzchas ends with B'nai Yisrael saying, how are we ever not going to die? Because we're always going to keep running into this trouble. And Hashem makes a couple of things. First of all, he declares exactly where people are allowed to go and where they're not allowed to go. He establishes what their boundaries are going to be. And beyond that, he establishes the mitzvos and the matanos that are given to the kahuna. He raises the kahuna up. He puts them in charge. The kohanim are in charge of preserving the extra sanctity of the Mishkan and then subsequently the Beis HaMikdash. And those rules are then set in place. So over the course of the Perek, that's Vayikra Yudches, in Bamidbar Yudches, it says, Pasuk Yudches, right, Kol Trumas Kashim Esherim B'nei Yisrael HaShem, Nasat Yichol B'nei Yisrael HaShem, Yitchal L'chak Olam, all those Trumos are going to be given to the sons and daughters with you as forever. Bris melach olam hi lifnei Hashem. It's going to be a pact of salt forever in front of Hashem. So what does it mean that it's going to be a pact of salt? So Rashi seems to say, yeah, because salt never spoils. There's a matter of that salt is considered that it can't be destroyed. So too, the pact that is going to be made with Kohanim is not going to be destroyed. I was curious, just the thought occurred to me about what the story is with Bechorim. I mean, well, the Bechorim who lost their position because of the Chet Egel, well, do they ever get, are they ever able to get a role back? Is there ever a tshuva possibility for them? Not sure if that's out there. There is an idea of, we mentioned this before, that the Tanis Bechorim is really about that. The fast of the elders is really about the elders mourning over the fact that they're not going to have an active role in the Avoda, and there's a tshuva aspect to it as well. So I don't know if there's ever a change, but anyways, in this, the Kohanim, based on this, are never going to lose their status. So is there more to it than that? So the Shemen HaTov here, quotes that idea from Rashi, that there's never going to be a change. But he also adds in the second shot of Rashi. Where is it? Right, so Rashi gives two pshatim. The second one was that idea, the kibritz kakarusa lamel she'enu masriach lam, will never spoil. But the first thing Rashi actually said was, karas prisim aron bedavar haberia umiskayim umevriya sacherim. What does that mean? So it is something that is itself wholesome, meaning there is something that exists on its own, umiskayim, it causes things to last, and sustain and is lasting itself, and sustains other things. That's the pshat that Rashi gives, that it exists, it lasts, and it sustains other things. So to a kohen, maybe bracha v'ches v'acheru maskrivim bo al yedei matanos kahuna. So to a kohen, they will be established, but also they'll help others. That's part of their goal. The gohanim are those that enhance those that are around them. Beyond that, there is another point in the Torah where the Bris of Melech is discussed, and that is in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, the beginning of Vayikra where it's mentioned. So Rashi there makes a comment of why is it that salt is such an integral part in the Beis HaMikdash, and Rashi gives a different answer. Rashi doesn't say the two things that are mentioned here, but Rashi mentions something additional, and that is because when the waters, there is On the second day of creation, the waters were separated. There's waters above and there's waters below. And we're more familiar perhaps with the moon complaining about the moon being smaller than the sun, but the lower waters also complained. The lower waters complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, it's not fair. We want to be closer to the Kisei HaKavod. So Hashem responded by saying, "Bachu debaydun mehavi kadam malka v'huftechu l'mayim atachtonim likariv b'mizbeach." So Hashem said, "All right, I'll give you something that the lower waters will be brought on mizbeach when there is melach in the form of salt, as well as nisuch hamayim on Sukkot." And the bris, and that bris was made during 6 days of creation. And came komash and nivdal the madriga pachusam vakasha and karev lakash baruch hu mamzi lo kinyan amelach openly skarev zehu abrisi makoin. That just as anything that is separated from a kadosh baruch hu, they have a way of coming closer. Meaning the lower water, which was, so to speak, separated from Hashem, has a way of coming closer. So that's the deal with the kohen, that the kohen has the ability to bring people closer. So beyond that, the Gemara then, he connects that to a Gemara in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara tells us in the Maseches Brachos, Taflamadava Amal Aleph, that over Lisnei HaTeva, Tzarech L'Chachil L'Sarif, that somebody who is supposed to go in front of, or is asked, Max will relate to this very much, somebody who is asked to go and be the chazan, so he should lechachila, he should lesarev, he should originally refuse. So the Gemara then says, and if you don't refuse, you are like a cooked food without salt. And then the Gemara continues on, but if he pushes back too much, right? So then he is domo lekadera shakadicha melech. So then he is like a dish that is oversalted. So behind the melachmo, what does that mean? The melachmo l'tavshil rakim hu nosin b'midas hatzorech. That's the idea that salt helps the cooked foods or enhances food. That's only if you put in the right amount of salt. If you put in too little salt or you put in too much salt, so then that is inappropriate. So the Sfas, I assume he's referring to the Sfas Emes, Shin Pei Aleph. I assume he's referring to the Sfas Emes. I looked it up in the Sfas Emes. I couldn't find what this was referring to. But he quotes from what I assume is to be the Sfas Emes, that we have the three people. There are three people that sort of were candidates to be the Kohen Gadol. Moshe, Aaron, and Korach, right? All three of them are trying to get their dibs on it. So Moshe was Misarev Yosef Midai. Moshe pushed it off too much. Hashem comes to Moshe, and Moshe says, I want you to lead the Jewish people, and Moshe rejects him, and he argues with Hashem for 7 days, until the point where Moshe just like kind of says, just send somebody else, I don't want anything to do this, I don't want it. To which Hashem says, Aaron will be your helper. So the Medrash comments that originally Moshe was not just supposed to be the leader, and perhaps the melech, or some kind of level of melech, but he was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. So as a punishment for Moshe rejecting that possibility, Hashem says, Aaron's going to be the leader in your stead. And what about, so Moshe is the example of the person who rejected it too much. Who's the example of a person who wanted it too much? So that would be Korach, right? Obviously Korach was a person who pushed, who wanted the kavod too much. He did the wrong thing. So he is compared to the, compared to too much salt. And then who is the one who fits right in the middle? So it's Aaron, that Aaron accepted it. Aaron took it upon himself. Aaron was nervous, the Medrash describes, that Aaron was nervous throughout the time whether he was really befitting it or whether he was gaining benefit from it. He was playing that middle road very well. So perhaps that's also the symbolism of putting melech, of putting salt, in this description with the Kohanim, that the Kohanim have to sort of bear that the middle ground, that on one hand we're not supposed to seem too desirous of this position, on the other hand they're not supposed to reject the position. They have a role to play. You have to find that the nice spot in the middle. So that's his first suggestion. His second suggestion about what the story is with the melech here also connects to that Gemara. To that Rashi that appears in the beginning in the second parak of Vayikra when it first talks about the salt on the on Mizbeach. And there, and so this is picked up from Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yaakov Kamenetsky in Emes LeYaakov in Vayikra Parak Beis Pasuk Gimel quotes from Rashi there, that the bris karusal melch v'sheish me'abreshe shehuftuchu amayim ha'tachtom likar v'mizbech. That Hashem had promised the original, when the lower waters complained that, oy, Nebuch, we're the lower waters, Hashem said, don't worry about it, there'll be global warming and you'll all evaporate. No, he said that, don't worry, you'll one day be able to be brought on mizbech. So the, and gives two examples, the salt and the nisuch hamayim. So nisuch hamayim is, you know, that there are the waters being brought in the mizbeach. But other mefarshim ask, wait a second. If you're saying, oh, don't worry, you're going to be brought in the mizbeach with the melach, well, the water is not brought on the mizbeach because of the melach. Right? It's not the water that gets put on the mizbeach. It is the residue of the water that's being put on the mizbeach in the form of salt. So how does that appease the water that, oh, don't worry, you'll be put on the mizbeach. So there is a Gemara, in Maseches Ketuvos, a halachic section of Maseches Ketuvos, where it's discussing what is the status of a woman's, the nichse milog property, the peros, the fruit that a woman brings into her marriage. So what qualifies as something that the husband is allowed to use? I mean, if she comes in with treats, he's allowed to have the fruit. So the Gemara adds, oh, and by the way, the salt as well. She has some kind of salt field, so he is allowed to benefit from the salt, and don't worry, the salt's going to be replenished. So Rashi there explains what this is talking about. So what was the way of harvesting salt? So if you had a property that was right next to the water, so the sea would come over your land. It would fill in, you would set up these ditches beforehand, the sea water would come in, and then you would let it sit out there in the sun for a while. Eventually the water would evaporate, and that would leave behind the salt. So, says Rav Yaakov, that the water, so what does that mean? Meaning the water, the mayim hakalim misalim al yedei hachama, that the water would go up by way of the sun, v'hanisharim, and the rest of that which was left behind would remain salt. That Hashem as well chose the lower salt. That this is just demonstrating that you see the water is that you water have a role as well. That by us trying to get the salt, that water is going to be going up to Shemayim. But the Shemen Hatov extends this a little bit and then adds in that how is the water going up? So, that there's two things that are producing the salt. On one hand, you have the water, right? The starting point is the water, and the second point is the sun, right? The ish dechama and the sun of the heat of the fire of the sun. This is nasu mamish kishemayim, and that's what shemayim is made of. Ish umayim. Ha'usim shalom b'nehim lasos ratzon avinu shemayim. And the ish and the mayim are, in theory, opposites of one another. They are coming together in order to produce a good result for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the lower waters, liyos priyatir sam shal ish umayim, d'zeo gam bevris, and so too with the kahuna. That the kahuna as well is a partnership, so to speak, of the lower world and the upper world. How is that? Because the Kohen, there's a Gemara, has a dispute about this, that the Kohen is a Shluchei Didan, or is a Shluchei Derechmana. Are Kohanim our representatives, or are they representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Gemara doesn't really conclude that, and the reason is because there's aspects of both. That the Kohen is sort of marching between the two. He's sort of in this area of, on one hand, being considered a sanctified above man and rising other people up, on the other hand, sort of being a representative of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and bringing them down. And what perhaps is the residue of that mark, so suggests the Shemana Tov, that's the salt. And that perhaps is why the bris hamelach, the pact of salt, is used particularly to describe the sanctity of the kahuna. Okay, so that is thought number one with regards to the parashat Yitzchak. So thought number two is connected to the famous role that the Levim have. That the Rambam, as he quoted the other day, the Rambam at the very end of Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel points out that the whole last parak of Shemitah v'Yovel discusses the idea that the Levim do not get a specific inheritance in the land of Israel, and nor do they get spoils of war. That's a pasuk in Parak Yivches, which we read. So what happens to him? Why is that? The Rambam explains, because they are the ones that are, they are separated in order to serve Hashem, and right, in order to demonstrate the way of straightness and truth and righteousness and all those kinds of things. So therefore, Hashem separates them from the normal ways in the world. They don't wage war. They don't get spoils of war. They don't have to worry about those things. And don't worry, Hashem will provide. What does it mean Hashem will provide in the how do we understand Hashem will provide? So Hashem has legislated that we have to give truma, they have to give meiser, and from the meiser there has to be truma that is given, and there's all these other matnos kahuna gifts to the Kohanim that are given as well, that I learned over the last section of Maseches Chulin that we're going to get up to in Daf Yomi relatively over the next couple of months. And that's what it means that Hashem will survive, that Hashem will provide. So that's Halacha Yud Beis. Then the very last parak in Hilchos Shvi'it of Yovel. In fact, it's the very last section in all of Seder Zrayim of the Rambam. And that is, by the way, it's not just Shevet Levi that this applies to, El Kol Ish V'Ish, anybody, Mikol Bay Olam, Asher Nidva Rucho Oto, they view Midaitu Lahavdu Lamu Bisnei Hashem L'Shrasol Abdol Deyas Hashem V'Alach Yashra Kamosh Rasu El Kim Bufrak Me'al Tzavaro Olach Hashmonot HaRabim Asher Bikshu B'nei Ozem HaReza Niskadish Kodesh Kedosh V'Yu Hashem Chalko V'Nachol Aso L'Olam Olamei Olamim. That anybody else who wants to do this and separate themselves and stand in front of Hashem in order to serve Him and to know Hashem well, and he goes in that path, so too Hashem, he has the right to do so, and Hashem will take care of him. So also, Hashem will provide. So it's not just referring to, this rule is not only to Shevet Levi, but in theory, anybody, and not implying not even just, this isn't restricted necessarily just to Jews, anybody who wants to completely throw themselves in the service of God, so there's a special bracha that Hashem will provide. Now, we pointed out last week on Halacha Day on Friday that there is a Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah that seems to be the not just mitigating to this halacha, but the complete opposite of this halacha, saying that anybody who just learns and doesn't worry about parnasa and takes tzedakah, they're doing a terrible thing, and he totally goes against that idea. How do you reconcile that? That's the shir that we gave on Friday. But nevertheless, that is what the Rambam says over this idea. So there is a sefer that I have had at home. I think at some point I went on some shopping spree as far. I bought the sefer Meizahav, because he had something to say about every parsha. I figured at some point in my life we have to say something on every parsha. I don't know who the author's name is. Rav Yitzchak Pinchas. I assume it's pronounced Goldwasser. But other than that, I don't know anything about him or what he's saying. But he has an interesting piece on where he quotes from this Rambam, that plus a person has separated themselves, so they have the ability to rely on Hashem. So where does this status of the Kohanim and the Levim come from? What is this idea? In fact, we could point out as well that for the entire 40 years that Bnei Yisrael was in the desert, they had this status, right? They had the status of sitting and learning with Moshe Rabbeinu, and assuming that Hashem will provide, right? And Hashem provided. Right? So everybody was able to have that status. And
everybody got provided for
them. Yeah, that's what we're saying, right? Everybody had the status of being in Shevet Levi, right? But what's the idea that Shevet Levi did not lose it? Did not lose it. So he suggests that that in theory everybody was placed on this level before the Chet HaEgel, right? Everybody at Har Sinai, what was the response that everybody gave? Everybody gave the response of Nasa V'Nishma, right? We're all in. We're going to do everything that you say, and we're going to listen to everything that you say, right? Nasa V'Nishma. And everybody was placed on that level until the Chet HaEgel. Right? The Chet HaEgel brought everybody down from that level, except for who? Except for the Levite. Well, except for the woman, right? Okay, right. Women are also provided for, I guess. At least they're supposed to be. But the Levium, they're the ones who stood out and stood back and did not succumb to the sin of the Chet HaEgel. And therefore, they were able to remain and maintain that status of Nasa V'Nishma and to be able to be provided for. So he continues on and says, if you look carefully, and he quotes this from Rav Yosef Farbstein, I think it seems familiar. I'm just not sure who it is. From Yossi Farbstein. Shlita. Yes, Shlita. So somebody is still alive. And he explains that perhaps that is, if you're Meduyik in the Rambam, that's what he is alluding to. The words of the Rambam were, again, not, this doesn't just apply to Shevet Levi. El kol ish v'ish v'kol bayolam asher nidva rucho oto. Right? That the spirit moves him. Ve'yivinu midaitu lahavdu lamu l'fnei Hashem. And he separates himself from her, stands in front of Hashem. L'sharso uliavdo to serve Hashem, and to work, ledeya es Hashem, to know Hashem. What do we call that idea? To serve Hashem and to work to know Hashem. That's very similar to the phrase, nasa v'nishma. I mean, anybody who is willing to say nasa v'nishma purely, and say that's what my complete goal is in life, so they have the status of being somebody that's going to be at Har Sinai, and therefore they have the right to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide. Just as the Kadosh Baruch Hu provides the Levim, as Kadosh Baruch Hu provided for Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, so too Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide for me as well. That is his suggestion for how the mechanism of this works. I found that fascinating, and that leads into a following point that I wanted to conclude with already. And that is, there's a new sefer that came out. I was able to get it. It's written by Rav Aaron Lopiansky. Have you heard that name? He spoke in the Kol a couple of years ago. That's when I sort of got hooked. He spoke at the game of Shrush on Hanukkah. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva in Silver Spring, which is where my nephews went. And a lot of his shirim are available online, very much with it in the world. He was interviewed recently in the Headlines podcast 2-3 weeks ago, and he had mentioned that he had just finished, partly because he had just finished, a sefer entitled Orchos Chaim, a Ben Torah for Life. And the Haskama of the Novominska Rebbe, who wrote in here, so he writes here, B'chol David Sugi Yezuv, Chiber Sefer Shehu Ke'en Sefer Mesiyas Yesharim. It's like the Sefer Mesiyas Yesharim, that he collects all of these Divrei Torah that perhaps we sort of know or you have connection to, and he was able to put it in a way, but pointing out in a way at how it's very applicable to all of our lives. So the first chapter of, and the idea of the Ben Torah for Life is that it's sort of a madrith. It's a sefer that's supposed to be learned for people that are leaving yeshiva and going out into the world. As David Lichtenstein pointed out at the beginning of this podcast, he said that we now have more people that are in yeshiva than ever before, which also means that we're going to have more people leaving yeshiva than ever before. And most of the emphasis of the direction in yeshiva is for when you are in yeshiva. It's that you have to learn with hasmada and try to cut out all distractions and make sure you're focused on learning, and this is the most important part of your life, etc. Okay, but then what happens when you're not there anymore? How are you then going to adapt and going out there? So he explains, as the first chapter is the following idea, that there is part of that all of Bnei Yisrael is connected, and every aspect of Bnei Yisrael is sort of an aspect that everybody has as well. So if there's a Shevet Levi amongst Klal Yisrael, so there's an aspect of Shevet Levi that is then going to be applicable and is going to be applied to that is then going to be applied to all of us, right? So when you think about Shevet Levi is this sort of this pure group that is going to then impact the rest of Klal Yisrael. So somebody who learns in yeshiva or people that spend their mornings learning Torah, there is that pure moment of time which is then going to influence the rest of their lives. Not that it's, so some people will say, I'm going to devote that all the time. So it means just as there's a group of Klal Yisrael that can impact the rest of Klal Yisrael for being that group, so too we all have portions of our lives that are then supposed to influence the rest of ourselves, even when we're doing other things besides being focused on learning, as we are here this morning. So just as the concept exists with Shevet Levi, concept also exists with regard, as he points out, with regards to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is a spot in the world where no avodah is taking place, but yet is an example of pure holiness that then goes and impacts all of the other things that are going around it, either the Kadosh things, the sanctified things that are going on in the Beis HaMikdash itself around it, and then all the things that Bnei Yisrael does, its focus is all coming back to the Focus is all coming back to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the idea of their either time in the Midbar, and as well, that the time in the Midbar is supposed to be a portion of the history of Klal Yisrael that was then going to impact all of us for the years to come. It points out that that actually comes from the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma in Hazinu says, Kishim Hashem Ekra HaVogodel Leilukenu, that this is the name of Hashem that calls out to that brings greatness to Hashem. That the idea is ki ikar. This is what the Meshech Chachma says: ki ikar hatachlisi asher yisnoiga uma beufen tavai mushkach prati. That the main goal is that the nation should act beufen tavai. What does ofen tavai mean? According to the derech hateva. I mean, Bnei Yisrael is supposed to function on a derech hateva mushkach prati with specific Hashkacha, which for specific ideas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is influencing, but we're supposed to be functioning on a level that is tabai, that is considered derech hateva, that as opposed to the period of Moshe. He says, that we're going to go into the land of Israel, we're going to be able to get the fruit out of it, and So lo kein bimei Moshe asher nifritzu gevulos hateva v'naharsu mitzarei asfagos hatamidus, as opposed to the days of Moshe where it was on the outer boundaries of teva, it was not normal. Rak lo pal lo meuma v'haman yorei, they didn't have to work in the month, came down v'chol echad roa amud hanan, with everybody saw Hashem, and Hashem walked in front of them. Hal ze yikra tachlisi, is that really our purpose? Is our purpose really to exist in the Midbar? Is our purpose really to just a bit of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us everything, and Hashem is a constant presence, and you see the fire, etc.? Is that really what our goal is? That's Olam Hava, right? That time spent in the desert is considered like a category of Olam Hava. So when you're in Olam Hava, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be basking in the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and enjoying all the things that Hashem gives us, etc. That's not the goal in Olam Hava, though. And it says that's the idea of the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, where it says the Sheker Achein, that's referring to the door of Moshe, the Hevel Ayofi, that is the door of Chizkiah. So we normally understand that as being that they recognize, being his generation recognized Sheker, the Sheker of Chein, or the Hevel of Yofi. Gamaya Nesu Pelim, etc. But he says Asher Yiras Hashem Hiti Salal, that's the door of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eli, that there were six Talmidim were able to be covered in one talus. He says that's the greatest generation. Why is that the greatest generation? With all due respect to perhaps some members of this room, but why is that generation considered to be the greatest generation? Because they were in this world and yet were able to function as spiritual beings in this world, in the Teva world. That is his point. The goal is to function in this world, but to use those periods of spirituality to influence our functioning. And he connects with one more idea, and that also from Sefer, from Parshas Korach, as we learned. And Parshas Korach, what was in the previous parak? The end of the previous parak ended with all of Bnei Yisrael, all of the Nesim giving their staffs. Right, what happened with all of their staffs? They were collected, and Aaron's staff bloomed. Right, what happened with the rest of the staffs? Great way of finishing Parshas Korach. What happened with the rest of the staffs? What did they do? So the pasuk tells us actually what they did. By Yitzi Moshe as kol matos b'nei Hashem el kol b'nei Yisrael vayiru vayichu ish matayim. Right, so Moshe went out in front of all of the tribes from in front of Hashem to all b'nei Yisrael, and everybody saw. And they took their staffs, right? So they took it. Where'd they take it? What did they do with it, right? Moshe could have also said, you see, mine bloomed, yours didn't, right? And he threw them in the garbage. Why did he give them back their staffs? So says Rav Lopiansky, he says, because, yes, there was a test, and everybody sort of put in their stick, right? And Levi's stick was chosen. Levi's stick was chosen to be the, so to speak, Shevet Levi. What was other people's motivation? So remember, this is the end of the parak. We had a couple of discussions in Musar Day of last week, of the last parak, of if Korach had already fallen into the ground and the people had already been burnt up, why did they need this test of the staffs? And if they're going to do the test of the staff, and that's ultimately what's going to prove that Shevi Levi was in charge, why did he have to bother with opening up the ground and having this magifa and having this terrible plague that impacted people? And said, what was going on there? And they discussed because in order to get to the point that the people were willing to accept the message of the staffs, you had to go through all of that. You had to sort of, like, get Korach out of there. You had to get these people out of there. And then you'd be able to, then people would be able to listen and be able to accept that message. But what was, at that point, what was their goal? I mean, at that point, it wasn't, the cynicism of Korach is gone, right? And the constant rabble-rousing of Dasan Vaviram, right, they're out of the picture. Right, but the people are still wondering about this. What are the people wondering? They're saying, "Can I be the Kohen? Right? Can instead of it be Shevet Levi being the one chosen, could it be Shevet Naphtali being the one chosen? Could it be my Shevet that's going to be chosen? Can I perhaps be the Kohen Gadol?" All these people gave their staff saying, "Can I be the one that's going to be chosen for this high level?" And that moment of giving those sticks represented their aspirations. So yes, it's true that Hashem says, okay, you know, Levi is chosen, and you're all going to have other jobs to do. But that moment of giving in the stick was represented their aspiration to be Shevet Levi, represented their aspiration to be the one that's going to be Kula Kodesh, entirely sanctified. So that, right, so all of us have the things that we have to do, perhaps, you know, over the course of the afternoon, but we should have to remember what's really our aspiration, what really do we want, and hopefully that thing that we really want, if it's, you know, what we learn here, from learning Torah, etc., so that will then be able to impact all the other things that we do over the course of our days and over the course of our lives. All right, stop here. On to Mazel Tov. On to Parshas Korach, Parshas Kukas next week. Hadron Alach, Parshas Korach.